Sunday, ladies, Chaimus Halvavashir. Sunday afternoon, it is Tes Shvat, the ninth day of Shvat. Sunday afternoon, we're learning Chaimus Halvavashir HaBechina, and we'll be starting in approximately 60 seconds. Teach us here.
Now, I have to make choices about what the right thing to do. And I say, Hashem, what do you want? I can't answer.
So then Tom, come up to me. I'm a Navi.
I always know. I was about to go to this class, and the woman who sings with me wanted to come and sing. So I said, I'm going to go. So then I felt guilty the whole time, and I said, no, you're singing.
You develop a sense. You do. Yeah. And it's just a question of priority. It's not a question of good and bad. Okay, Chavis Halavas Shar HaBechina. We're in this long, long fifth perek. What? Who? I'm not aware that he was.
No, because he knows so much about anatomy.
He knows a lot about everything. Okay. I don't know. I'm not aware that he was. I haven't seen anywhere that he was. So we're talking about now. We're talking about the mind, the human mind. And again, a little hakdama, as the people in the class dwindle down to a select special few, you're very lucky people. What the Chavis Halavas wants us to do, and not just wants us, but what he says is an absolute obligation to do, is to be aware. Among other things, there's different angles and different perspectives and different ways of looking at this. Now I'm just as a hakdama for 2 minutes. Just what he wants us to do, he says we're obligated to do, is be aware. It's heightened awareness, and it's a beautiful thing, because if you go through life and you take everything for granted and you don't realize that someone did you a favor, it's like we're like children. Right, they don't realize the mother is giving them breakfast and lunch and supper and feeding them and taking care of them and buying them clothing and staying up with them at night if they're not feeling well and watching over them, unaware. Just goes through those years of life just unaware, and Mela, his thank you is perfunctory. And not only the thank you is perfunctory, but there's a greater loss, a tragic loss, is that he doesn't realize that someone cares about him and is looking out for him and wants only the best for him. And that's a very warm, comforting feeling. So if you go through life and you get heightened awareness by the Chavis Halavas, that's my point today. It heightens our awareness. You say, wait a second, I never realized that the ability to swivel my neck is a chesed Hashem. I never thought about that I'm sane and that I have to thank Hashem that I am sane. And I never thought about that it's a gift that childhood diseases, there's a reason for it. And everything is l'tovus b'nei Adam v'yara l'kim es kol asher asah v'hinei tov ma'od. Everything Hashem made is good for the benefit of mankind, and we could mess up, and sometimes we do, maybe more than sometimes, but everything, and everything matters, everything counts, everything is there for a purpose and a reason, anything, and we take everything for granted. We take gravity for granted, we take the fact that our muscles work when our mind commands it to, and we can bend our knees, and it's just utterly amazing. So my point is, it heightens our awareness, and we feel good when we heighten our awareness and we become aware of the gifts. Someone's showering us with gifts, so we should feel blessed, And we should always be in a good mood. And that's where Simchas HaChaim should come from. Because look at all these great things happening. And it's happening, and it doesn't have to happen. And it's not muchrach, and it's not automatic. But someone's out there that loves me and is showering me with these gifts. And that in itself is worth the whole Shaar HaBechina. Besides the fact that it's the foundation of our Avodas Hashem, because our Avodas Hashem should be based on gratitude, and so on and so forth. Just the very fact that we feel blessed. The person goes through life, he's in a bad mood. He doesn't have every little thing he wants. He can't afford every little thing he wants. Maybe some relationships are messed up. Maybe he wanted to live in a different place. Maybe he wanted... So he goes around and he's sad. And really, if you would think about... Even in moments of tragedy, where you have to be sad, who you have to be sad, or just the human condition makes you sad. But, you know, at the same time, you have to juggle your feelings of happiness, of gratitude, and you juggle. And that's why we don't commit suicide. And that's why we never get so despondent. And that's why a Jew should never be dysfunctional and should never even fall into a depression. Because there's so much out there, and it's just it's a question of awareness. So we finished the biology of the physical man, and now we went into the mind. And he listed the things that he'll be talking about. Machshava, thought, understanding, just plain understanding. Yichab, you understand. And memory and forgetfulness and the sense of shame. Interesting things he picks. Seichel. Seichel is not the same as machshava. Machshava is thought or understanding. And seichel is reasoning. That you're able to figure something out. Deductive reasoning. Inductive reasoning. Maven dover mitoch dover. Being creative. Figuring out a solution to a problem. That's a much higher level. The Hadibur, which the Chavis Al-Babas, he already mentioned the Chidushim, the physical Chidushim in what produces speech. But now he's talking about the connection between speech and Seichel, that, you know, you have to think and you have to know what you're saying, and then it's such a creative act. And we see that Adam HaRishon is described in at the apex of his, you know, and he's described as a speaking creature, someone that can speak. So we'll see about that when we get up to it, because he's going to elaborate on all of these things that he just made a list of. And so he talks about the memory first. Tira im yechser la'odam e'ela hamidos hazikaron levad. Let's, you know, I just gave you a list, he said. Thought, understanding, forgetfulness, memory, a sense of shame, ability to reason. He says, if you would just be missing the koach of memory, heichi en yano, imagine what the person's life would be like. Bekama hefsed yovelo b'chol en yonov, and how much spoiling, how much ruination would his life consist of. B'cholin Yonav, in all of his affairs, he's not a mensch. And we're talking about now, you don't know where you live, you don't remember your name, maybe you don't remember the first part of your sentence, right, that I just said. Maybe I don't remember what I'm doing here, maybe I don't, like, everything is memory. Life is memory. Really, what a person is really, a person is memory. Because part of who I am today is because I have certain influences. I had certain influences in my life, and I have. But that's all memory. Without memory, so the hashpah I got from a Rebbe, or from a chaver, or from a neighbor, or from a mentor, or from a role model, it would all be lost. It would all be lost. So really, memory makes the person to a large degree.
Alzheimer's patients. That's true and not true, because to a certain extent, the essence of the person is who were like nonverbal, like all of what made them who they were,
no.
Very often.
You're wrong. It's no. Because they. No, you're right, but it's no, because no.
They retain
memory. They have memory. They didn't. Oh. If they would have lost 100% of the memory, then they lose everything.
Even if they lost some of the memory.
Yeah, short-term memory, long-term memory, the memory that they internalized into who they are. But at some point, I mean, what I'm saying as a chiddush, think about it, is at some point in my life, I am who I am, and I became who, even if you'd be 100% right, but I became that person only thanks to memory. If the Chavis HaLava says, I wouldn't remember. I wouldn't remember. He says, "Shenu zocher mashiyesh lo." I wouldn't remember what I have, or mashiyesh olav, or mashelokach. I wouldn't remember if someone gave me something, or mashenosan, or masheroa, what he saw. Right, we're influenced by what we see. I'm influenced by conversations I had with my friends. I'm influenced by the way they acted. But everything at some point had to be memory. If not for memory, how could anything have an impact upon me? I happen to think that even ongoing, if because I still maintain, well, we'll see. I printed out an article. As I said, the Chavis HaLava is talking about memory in the abstract of the mind. But really, nowadays, there's a lot known about the physical, so to speak, the biological aspects of memory. And I'll read to you a little, and you know, then it's like talking about digestion. Like, it's unbelievable the millions and billions and trillions of nerve connections and electrical impulses that go into a memory. Just, I'll read you soon, just to look at this thing I'm holding in my hand and to say that is a pen, I'm going to write with it, is an it's an enormous, unbelievable, complex system of different parts of my brain. I'll read you the article, the entry in an encyclopedia, working together in tandem to produce, and that's all memory, to produce my knowledge of what this is and who gave it to me and how I'm going to write with it and how to hold it. Right? I have to remember my fourth grade teacher banging me over the knuckles with her ruler, so that we had penmanship in my days. Now they don't know from penmanship. But in my days we learned penmanship. If you looped your T's, you got it over the knuckles with a ruler. Okay? Kesha'enu zocher mashayesh lo. If you don't remember what you own, umashayesh olov, and what you had to do, right? You walk out of your house, if you work with Alzheimer's people, you know, you walk out of your house and you forget. Even healthy people walk out of the house and all of a sudden they don't remember why they walked out of the house for. Umasha lokach, what he took, umasha nosan, what he gave, umasha ro, what he saw, umasha shama, what he heard, umasha omar, what he said. I mean, you have to imagine what life would be like. Umasha nemar lo, v'lo yiskor misha heitiv lo. This is already getting into, I wouldn't remember who my friends are, who cares about me, who did me tovos. The Navi screams at Klal Yisrael. Scream is not a good word. He gives tochacha to Klal Yisrael for not remembering Hashem, who doesn't remember who made the blow, who bestows upon him good things. He doesn't remember what his wife did for him. He doesn't remember what the husband did for her. He doesn't remember what his parents did for him. It's very sad. He has nothing to build his sense of self on. He doesn't remember his enemies. He doesn't remember people who don't care for him, people who don't seek out his good. So, someone who helped me and I can be grateful to him. Someone who hurt me so I can avoid that person. You don't know how to walk, where to go, even if you've traveled it many times, you don't remember where to go without memory. You won't remember any knowledge. Even if you studied knowledge your whole life, you don't. It takes this koach of memory to remember it. And everything a person sees and experiences is recorded. So, when we finish, I'll read you from the article. And you know, and it's amazing. You know, it's like you push a button on a camcorder. I'm sure we've all had the experience. Even you just smell something, and you're transported back in time to when you were a child. That smell meant that mommy's making chocolate chip cookies. And that's amazing. And it could be 30. You remember, like 40 years ago, 50 years ago. That flashes into your mind when you have that smell, or you hear a niggin, and you can remember like your own wedding, because like you they played that niggin at your wedding, and all of a sudden you're transported there, and like a video, because of memory, and that memory connects to the eyes, and connects to the ears, and connects to the nose, because all of these things. I smelled something, and that triggers a memory, and I see something, and that triggers a memory. And you can be transported there, and the mind, you're all of a sudden you're smelling the food, and you're hearing the niggin, and you're happy, and you feel like you're in a good mood. Say, how come you're in such a good mood today? So you're ashamed to say, because you smelled something, and you were transported back to your wedding. And you were very happy then, so it puts you in a good mood. Or, you know, the smallest things, and we all have this, you know. Sometimes we need a therapist. Like for years and years and years, I hated snow. Snow put me in a bad mood, and I lived in Muncie, and married in Muncie, but it put me in a bad mood. I just, some people said, yeah, because you have to shovel out your driveway to get your car out. And this, but then it triggered a memory, because when I was a kid on the Lower East Side, so the goyim used to pelt us with snowballs and then throw us down into the snow and beat us up. And this was like an everyday occurrence that you have, you know, when it snowed. So that this is the stuff of therapy. This is why people act a certain way, you know, because they have memories that they're not conscious of, and they are resentful people, or they're insecure. I mean, all the mental illnesses is kosher with the memories, which are repressed many times, and that's what therapy is supposed to bring it out. And then, like, once you become aware of it, then you're on the road to being cured, to curing yourself of obsessions, of anger, b'chulu.
It's not just mental illnesses, because there's a theory now that when you're back pain, all these things.
Dr. Sarno. Okay, and the Chanani, it's all memory is, that's what Chavis HaLovitz is saying. We have to appreciate and thank Hashem for memory. Our lives would be not lives without memory. That's what he's trying to bring out. And I'm saying the other side. Our lives are so rich and full, and really much of who we are is built on memory, and therefore you have to thank Hashem, because of what made me what I am today. I had certain rabbeim, I had certain friends, I had certain influences, I had certain experiences. So it's all memory. You see, we don't think about it. We just, yeah, that was my life. It's not my life. It's only my life because I have memory. So I retained what happened. So you say, Modem Anachnu Loch, thank you Hashem for the memory. And then we'll see in a few moments that forgetfulness is a tremendous bracha from Hashem. Hashem created the forgetfulness. It's not like, yeah, you forget, because it evaporates from your memory. It doesn't. It's a matana from Hashem. It's a chesed Hashem. Everything is a chesed Hashem. The ability to forget, the fact that we forget, is a chesed Hashem. But we'll see about that. V'lo yo'ilenu nisayon, without memory, experience wouldn't help you, right? Let's face it, we don't want to admit it, but most of our chochma is based on experience. But without memory, there would be no such thing as experience. Right? Ain't chochma kabbala nisayon. But there's no such thing as a kabbala nisayon without memory. Right? That's what he's saying. V'lo yishkol davar b'mesha avar, he wouldn't be able to, he's so smart. He says you wouldn't be able to judge something in light of the past. You wouldn't be able to make a judgment based on past experience. You wouldn't be able to without memory. Valmasha osed lios b'masha hoya. You wouldn't be able to anticipate something that's going to happen based on past experience. You couldn't do any of that. And if we sat down with a pen and paper and just, you know, and after an hour of being awake, you say, my goodness, so much of what I did is one of these two things. Either I'm evaluating something that's happening now in light of a past experience, or I'm anticipating the future based on past experience. Right? I'm making supper. What time is supper going to be? It's all memory. Achukarov lehispashet min anushias. Someone without memory, and it's a spectrum, right? As we see nowadays, people who lose their memory, they're not mentioned. Lispashet min anushias. You lose your humanity. You lose your humanity without the matana gedola of memory. So when we say atachonin lodamdas umalamed la'enoshbina, we're talking about memory also. We're talking about sanity. We're talking about memory. We're talking about the ability to reason and all. Then we talk about chochma bina v'das or deo bina v'haskel, depending on what nusach yidavin. But primary above everything is we thank Hashem that we're sane. There are people you see them in the street. They're not. I don't know where they are now, but when I grew up, they were in the street, and we saw them, and we made fun of them, and we called them names and ran away. But sick people that had all their. Even now, like I say, there's a lady in Sanhedrin, right? She goes, all her belongings are in that. Vagler, in that wagon. Everything she owns is there. And she walks around with it. I don't know, where does she sleep? Where does she go to the bathroom? Where does she eat? I don't know. Nebuch. So now I'm older. You know, when I was young, I have to have a kapara for what I did when I was young. We were kids. Okay, so now he's going to move on to forgetting. But first I want to read you what I printed out here. This is already, as I said, this is the physical of memory. Because just like he talked about the physical, we talked about seeing and digesting food, and food giving nutrition to a person, and sight and hearing and teeth and everything. So memory, he is talking now about just the concept of memory and how grateful we have to be. But now, I'll read you this. He says, people talk about memory as if it's a thing they have, like bad eyes or a good head of hair. But your memory doesn't exist in the way a part of your body exists. It's not a thing that you can touch. It's a concept that refers to the process of remembering. In the past, the experts described memory as a sort of a tiny filing cabinet full of individual memory folders in which information is stored away. But today, experts believe that memory is far more complex and elusive. It's located not in one particular place in the brain, but instead is a brain-wide process. If you remember what you had for breakfast this morning, that memory is the result of an incredibly complex constructive power, one that each of us possesses, that reassembles disparate memory impressions from a web-like pattern of cells scattered throughout the brain. Your memory is really made up of a group of systems that each play a different role in creating, storing, and recalling your memories. When the brain processes information normally, all of these different systems work together in perfect harmony to provide cohesive thought. What seems to be a single memory is actually a very complex construction. If you think of an object, let's say a pen, your brain retrieves the object's name, its shape, its function, the sound when it scratches across the page. Each part of the memory of what a pen is comes from a different region in the brain. The entire image of pen is actively reconstructed by the brain from many different areas. Neurologists are only beginning to understand how the parts are reassembled into a coherent whole. If you're riding a bike, the memory of how to operate the bike comes from one set of brain cells. The memory of how to get from here to the end of the block comes from another. The memory of biking safety rules comes from another. The nervous feeling you get when a car veers dangerously close, from another. But you're never aware of these separate mental experiences, nor that they're coming from different parts of your brain, because they all work together so well. Now, who can do that if not the Borei Olam? Like, how does that come together? In fact, experts tell us there's no firm distinction between how you remember and how you think. This doesn't mean that scientists have figured out exactly how the system works. They still don't fully understand exactly how you remember or what occurs during recall. The search for how the brain organizes memories and where those memories are acquired and stored has been a never-ending quest among brain researchers for decades. There's just enough information to make some educated guesses. The process of memory begins with encoding, then proceeds to storage, and eventually retrieval. The typical brain has about 100 trillion 100 trillion synapses, S-Y-N-A-P-S-E-S, which are the points where nerve cells in the human brain connect with other cells. 100 trillion. The first step in creating memory is a biological phenomenon rooted in the senses that begin with perception. I mean, there's so much going on in a person's head. When you meet a person, like every, your visual system registered his physical features, your auditory system registered the sound of his voice, the smelling, if they had face, touch maybe. Each of these separate sensations travel to the part of your brain called the hippocampus, which integrated these perceptions as they were occurring into one single experience, your experience of that single person. In other words, part of you heard how a voice sounds like, you saw what he looks like, or she, you know, and you smelled, maybe wearing perfume, and you smelled the perfume, and you, like everything, and you touched, and then there's part of your brain that puts it all together. That's this person. Experts believe that this hippocampus, along with another part of the brain called the frontal cortex, is responsible for analyzing the various sensory inputs and deciding if they're worth remembering. If they are, they become part of your long-term memory. As indicated earlier, these various bits of information are then stored in different parts of the brain. How these bits and pieces are later identified and retrieved to form a cohesive memory is not yet known. Yeah? But all that chachma, they don't know. Although a memory begins with perception, it is encoded and stored using the language of electricity and chemicals. Nerve cells connect with other cells at a point called the synapse. All the action in your brain occurs at these synapses, where electrical pulses carrying messages leap across gaps between cells. The electrical firing of a pulse across the gap triggers the release of chemical messengers called neurotransmitters. The neurotransmitters diffuse across the spaces between cells, attaching themselves to neighboring cells. Each brain cell can form thousands of links like this, giving a typical brain about 100 trillion synapses. The parts of the brain cells that receive these electrical impulses are called dendrites, feathery tips of brain cells that reach out to neighboring brain cells. And the connection between brain cells change all the time. Brain cells work together in a network, organizing themselves into groups that specialize in different kinds of information processing. As one brain cell sends signals to another, the synapse between the two gets stronger. The more signals sent between them, the stronger the connection grows. With each new experience, your brain slightly rewires its physical structure. How you use your brain helps determine how your brain is organized. It is this flexibility, which scientists call plasticity, that helps your brain rewire itself if it's ever damaged. It just goes on and on. I mean, this is... And if you learn and practice new information, intricate circuits of knowledge and memory are built in the brain. If you play a piece of music over and over, the repeated firing of certain cells in a certain order in your brain makes it easier to repeat this firing later on, and you get better at playing the music. You play it faster with fewer mistakes. Practice it long enough and you will play it perfectly. Yet if you stop practicing for several weeks and then try to play the piece, you may notice that the result is no longer perfect. Your brain has begun to forget what you once knew so well.
But you won't forget how to play.
Okay, one final thing. Try to stay up. Let's look at how you remember where you put your eyeglasses. Uh-oh. When you go to bed at night, you must register where you place your eyeglasses. You must pay attention while you set them on your bedside table. You must be aware of where you're putting them, or you won't be able to remember their location the following morning. Next, this information has to be retained, ready to be retrieved at a later date. If your system is working properly, when you wake up in the morning, you will remember exactly where you left your eyeglasses. If you've forgotten where they are, one of several things could have happened. You may have not registered clearly where you put them down to begin with. You may have not retained what you registered. You may not be able to retrieve the memory accurately. Therefore, if you want to stop forgetting where you left your glasses, you have to work on making sure that all three stages of the remembering process are working properly. That's how scientists now break it down. As we get older. Okay, let's go on. Yeah. Yeshikayach, this is primarily not a memory class. This is a class to appreciate what Hashem gave us and how helpless we would be without it. And I just read that because the Chavis HaLovos doesn't even deal with that. He deals with it as if it's some abstract gift. He didn't know all these complex electrical impulses of the brain with 100 trillion synapses in the brain. They didn't know that kind of stuff in his days. So it's just a subject for Shar HaBechina. Thank you, Hashem, for memory. We would not be anushius. We'd lose our humanity without memory. And as we, unfortunately, as we sadly know it, we see it, and we see when people, right, as they lose their memory, they are more and more helpless, more and more our heart, you know, and soon they lose. People can't stand to, I remember my grandmother, Shalom, right? Nobody wants to come visit anymore because she's asking you every 30 seconds who you are and what are you doing there, and you're arguing with her if it's Shabbos or not, and it's just, and then people stop visiting. And it's very, very sad. They lose the humanity, says B'chavis HaLavos, 1,000 years ago. Okay. We'll move on now to Shikcha. Even though I have, in these books, more talk about memory, but I think we have to forget about it and move on. So now we're going to talk about the gift of forgetting, which is, it's such a limud. Ladies, it's such a limud that the koach of forgetting. Again, you have to look at it and say, well, it's a chesed Hashem. This doesn't happen by itself, and I can't take it for granted, and I can't take it as a weakness. It is something Hashem created, and it must be amazing, and it must work amazingly, and it works at just the right time, and just when I need it, and I wouldn't be able to function without it. Umitoelos HaShikcha. Because that's the yisod of the Chavis HaLovos and Shar HaBechina. Everything Hashem made has a toelos. So the purpose and the benefit of the koach of forgetting is not just, oh, you know, memory loss. It's a positive aspect of life. Kilulei hashikcha, if you wouldn't have the power to forget, the ability to forget, I should say, lahoya nishra adam mebli etzev, everybody would walk around depressed. Which, anyway, half the people do. But he's saying everybody would walk around sad. No person would be free of sadness, because there are times in life when we experience overwhelming sadness for whatever reason, but everybody has those experiences. And if not for forgetfulness, if not for forgetting, the ability to forget, we would walk around with that, and we wouldn't be able to erase it, and it would be intense. And we would be sad, because we would always be experiencing that in our heads. L'hoya nishar ha'adam ibli etzev, a person would not be left without sadness. L'hoya tordo mimenu shum dodlar misum chasolam. And even the greatest joy in the world would not drive this sadness away. Because that's the nature of sadness. If you had a tragedy, if someone was nifter, or you got rejected, or you failed, and that becomes like the most important thing to you, so you can't shake it. Even the greatest joy, wouldn't drive it away. You know, at most you would be juggling the two feelings, but you would always have that sadness with you. Also, he would have, a person would have no pleasure from things in the world that cause him joy. A baby's born, a grandchild, a child, you know, you want to be happy. It's such an occasion for rejoicing. But you're always remembering the tragic things that happened in the world. Maybe they happened to you, or maybe some, you're remembering the Holocaust, and you can't shake it. It's like it's in front of you. You can't function. You'll be sad your whole life. You'll be depressed your whole life.
That would explain how Holocaust survivors could build a life, right?
Because of the koach of forgetting. They have to be very thankful.
The sharpness. Yeah. You know, the sharpness.
Well, yeah. Any mace, right? We have Shiva, and we have Shloshim, and we have Yud Beis Chodesh. And that both, that's a reflection of the fact that that's how it is. He would have no hope for rest from an enemy. You know, because he's always nervous, the enemy's going to attack, and someone doesn't like him, so it's always on his mind. Maybe that guy's out to get me. The guy moved away, and the guy, but he's always remembering how the guy's out to get him. So he's nervous always. Below his alem mimloch. To mull over it. He would never stop thinking about it and mulling over it. He would never stop thinking about what would have been if. Halotira echusam ba'odam hazikaron v'hashikcha. Unbelievable, he says. A person has these two opposing kochos in him, in her. You have two contradictory forces, and they work perfectly together. Memory has its benefits, and works to give the person the benefits of memory, and forgetfulness has its benefits, and works to benefit a person in its, and never the twain shall meet. I mean, in regular people, in normal people, when things are functioning properly, so there's no, they don't cross signal. I don't forget my name and remember someone's death. It doesn't happen. It's the other way around. I remember my name and I forget someone's death.
Sometimes you have no control over what you remember.
Hashem created forgetfulness as a matana to forget things which make us sad, to forget things which make us worry, to forget things which make us upset, nervous. Right? Now, sometimes, now, because of the study of the human mind, we find out maybe it was never really forgotten. It was just repressed. Okay, that means it didn't work the way it's supposed to. It didn't get it. You didn't forget it. You just repressed it. And maybe there's tricks how to forget things, how to let go of things. Some people hold on to things and they just repress them, and then they pay for it the rest of their lives. The way they act and the way they react, and they have trouble with relationships because they never really, you know, if someone was bullied or someone was made fun of or someone could go through life, and this is when it doesn't work. This is why we have to appreciate it as a chesed Hashem. Some people go through life, they remember their failure, they remember the other person was picked for valedictorian. Now this happened like 30 years ago, but they can't shake that. And they feel like a failure, and they feel they don't have any sense of self-worth, and they feel like they're no good. And this happens because they do not forget. And that's why it's a chesed Hashem. It's like when you go to the hospital and you see blind people, you say, thank you Hashem for my eyes. So when you see people who are in therapy because of repressed memories, as it's called, you say, thank you Hashem. Things happened to me, but Baruch Hashem, I was able to be rid of them. I had the koach of forgetfulness worked. But he's amazed that the person simultaneously remembers and forgets. Like, it happens together. Because if I wouldn't remember, I wouldn't be able to finish my sentence. And I wouldn't be able to recall the vocabulary. And I wouldn't be able to remember what I was going to say. And I remember what I'm doing here, and so on and so forth. And at the same time, I'm forgetting the pain I had last night on my leg. I'm not remembering that. If I would remember it, I would be cringing. And I wouldn't be, oh wow, did it hurt? Right? Like the Jewish joke, oh, was I thirsty? Right? And I would be remembering how this kid misbehaved by the Shabbos table, and I got upset, and then this would all be like b'fanai, and Baruch Hashem, it's gone. Who remembers? You don't want to remember what they remember. And so, sometimes when we do remember things we should forget, it means the system's not working. Like people who have a gallbladder that doesn't work. You know, so people have a head that doesn't work, and they remember things, and then they with parents, it's very dangerous if we don't forget things, and we remind our kids of their failures and of their misbehaviors, and it's a bracha. It's terrible. It's a tremendous bracha to be able to forget. Okay, and just, okay, we'll stop here.